May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 428. Humble souls who seek salvation through the Lamb's redeeming blood, hear the voice of revelation, tread the path that Jesus trod. Flee to him, your only Saviour, in his mighty name confide. In the whole of your behaviour, own him for your sovereign guide. Hymn 428.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the book of Psalms, three Psalms, Psalm 42, 56, 57. Psalms 42, 56, and 57. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the Hillmites. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalms 56 and 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. Will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. Will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Thou prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. Thou digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, Lord God of heaven and earth, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, give us some understanding as we approach thy mercy seat. Do give us that grace to venture, pleading the fullness of the grace provided by the Father and the only begotten Son. May we reverently come, pleading his dying grace and love for poor sinners. May we come pleading his blood, his precious blood, as we come to thy house. But Lord, also as we go on our journey every day, oh, save us from just a chapel exercise. May it be a daily, eternal exercise. Where shall I spend eternity? Oh, we will come into thy courts with joy, praise and thanksgiving for all thy mercies. But Lord, we have to come so often under thy reproach. under thy rod, under thy dealings. Thou knowest how each have come this night. Lord, do give us that grace to cologne to the God of love and the only begotten one, that a Redeemer come to Zion, meek and lowly, riding on an ass, come to give his life a ransom. Oh, that our hearts and spirits might be led to Jesus in all the fullness of his advent, his coming to this earth. And now exalted in heaven for the church below, may we truly be found following in thy footsteps, as we have been singing. O Lord, to follow thee, it is through much tribulation, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. For we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every man to his own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, do open to our hearts, that thou hast borne my sin and my reproach. And oh, may we gladly, daily take up the cross and follow thee. Remember us now as we gather. Holy Spirit, be dew in our midst. Bring forth the glory of the Son of God. For Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, thou dost glorify one another, and we have noticed it. Oh, let no man glory in himself. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. So we will come now, desiring that humble, tender frame. Lord, confessing our own folly, we make no excuses for our own nature and disposition. Oh, that we may have that Christ-like spirit. Oh, rend the heavens and come down. Remember us as we gather round thy word. Make it living. A living sacrifice, a living word, as the psalmist prayed, the living God, a living God. And may we know the living Saviour, for thou didst say, O blessed Son, because I live, ye shall live also, that was before thou didst die. O, the glory of thy resurrection. So we come now, bless us in our gathering, remember the dear friends, a number away taking rest and change, be with the families where they are, oh, grant that safety and that peace, and grant that safe return, whole and sound. But thy work might appear in this house of prayer still, we thank thee where it has. Remember, our dear friends, the deacons that bear office. Do be with them in every matter, and grant thy gracious presence, support, and blessing upon them, and also as they lead the public worship. Remember the church and the congregation. O Lord, do remember them in their homes, and in their business calling, and in their lives, and in their pathway, and in the lonely hours. O God, visit them with thyself. May they behold the face of the Lamb, once slain, now exalted. O Jesus, looking down, oh, we pray thy blessing. Forgive. What a pardon we need. Let the living pardon flow. Let thy word be a reality. thy loving kindness. Let the living waters flow. Remember our aged friends. Be with them, support them, prepare them. It cannot be long. It cannot be long. Death is on the road very close. And none of us know how soon or how long. Remember all in middle life in the heat of the day. The burden of care, business, circumstances, surroundings. Help them to cast their burden and care upon thee. Bring them to the washing. Bring them unto thy love and care. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. We thank thee where there are healing mercies. Oh, be gracious still and grant those restoring mercies. May each know the blessed truth as made known unto their heart. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, do sanctify all these matters unto us for our good. May we come through closer, closer to the feet of Jesus. Remember our young friends. Bless the Sunday school here. Bless the little babes, the young children at school, under homeschooling and so forth, and those going forth in life, in business and study. Open thy hand, touch their heart, and bring them to the throne of grace. O Lord, do reveal thyself unto them. Open thy hand and provide for them and bless them. With those matters, those things they so feel to need. Remember, each we pray, those who've left thy courts, grant some true prodigals to return. Give parents wisdom in nurturing their children. Lord, remember widows, widowers, those who plough a lonely furrow, those in distress, feel those pass them by, a lonely pathway. Be very merciful and visit, and let thy promise and thy truth be a reality. How thy people fear to be deceived. O Lord, do shine, shine, O Son of God. Then the promise becomes real. Oh, do shine. Leave us not to just trust on the word without Jesus. May we see Jesus in the word. And may we hear his voice. And may we know his love. May we behold his glory in the gospel. And may the gospel word be made precious unto our hearts. Lord, remember everyone in great need at this time. Bless Zion, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Send labourers into the vineyard still. Remember thy servants in affliction, great affliction. We think of others also who we know will never preach again. Be gracious unto one and another. O Lord, do bless Zion, return in power in the ministry. Group of churches which were attached in love, the editors of our magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies, bless them in their labours. Thy one spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read, men in deprivation, famine, poverty, war, persecution, genocide, make ways of escape. Lord, have mercy on England. Oh, raise up deliverers in the land. Leaders of integrity will stand firmly for what is right. Oh, Lord, raise up those to blow the trumpet out of Zion, sound the alarm. Oh, deliver us, we pray. Let thy work appear in this solemn day. We live in the last times. But still we seek the peace of Jerusalem. to whatever generation we're in. O Lord, let the Holy Ghost work in this land once more, in a great multitude, as it did in times past. O Lord, in the 16th and the 17th and the 18th centuries, in our universities, in our government circles, our institutions, in business, in local government, in the countryside, in the towns, who will bring men to call upon God in great need, great sorrow, never dying souls. Open up the truth to the nation. Hear our cries. And Lord, lengthen out our spiritual, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. We thank thee for it. And we have thy word. O Lord, our Protestant heritage still, lengthen out. Remember our Queen, we thank thee for stability. Undertake for England when she's gone. O, bring us as a nation to repentance. Hear the cries of the remnant. Now we bless thee for thy mercies. Thou art worthy of our praise. Daily helps, answers to prayer, preservation, protection. Lord, by those spiritual mercies, thy word, thy promise, thy blood, thy grace, thy gospel, the throne of grace, the doors of Zion open. We acknowledge these spiritual mercies, thy dying blessed love. Oh, how we acknowledge these tremendous mercies. Our Lord, thou art worthy of our praise. Now what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the signal of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit, be due, bring forth the glory of the Lamb. Great God of heaven, oh, we stand in awe of thy provision. Ask all things in thy worthy, in his worthy name, thine only begotten one, and for his sake. Dear Jesus, come. Oh, shine, shine in our hearts. Come into our lives. May we behold thee. Come, come, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Hymn number 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Hymn 303.
Thank you.
in their complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I will draw your attention to the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, and the last words in verse 6. 1 Samuel 30, the last words in verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, the last part, but I'll read the verse. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, or bitter, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I had this word with me on Tuesday morning, and I quite thought it would be for Mount Bures. But another word clearly came, and it went back into the background. Then again on Wednesday at Horan, a similar experience. And I suppose I have been partly wondering whether today another word would come. I can't say it's been foremost, this word, but nothing else has come, so we have had to venture with it. We read those Psalms, different circumstances. One, David was in 56, the Philistines with Achish. He was in danger. He knew it. He wasn't safe in Judah, in Israel, and he wasn't even safe anywhere. Safe nowhere. Do you know anything of that experience? What it is to feel you're in grave danger, your soul, your life, eternity, no refuge. We've been singing of the refuge. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Is it? David was brought to it. He was naturally a man, a strong character, a man of valor. He was a fearless man and a leader of men. But grace, God, brought him down to depend on salvation by grace, on the Lord's word. And as eventually revealed, his seed, the promised seed. Are you brought down from your high places and wonder why? In the 57th Psalm, of course, different circumstances, but there David, you know, fled from Saul in the cave. But in those Psalms we read, did you notice, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And this is such an occasion in the circumstances of the text. I know it's an outward pathway, but I want to speak of it spiritually. God's purposes were unfolding with David in a way he never expected. In a way that he never, never could have foreseen. Never. And all God's dear people have these experiences spiritually. Spiritually. It seems almost, if I can speak in a personal way, it seems that all the grace given has been completely lost, and you're left to self and struggle with principalities and powers within and without. The word of the Lord is not lively anymore. It's only a memory. Not only do we know of Jacob in this experience, but look at Jacob as well. All these things were against me. I shall go down to the grave in sorrow. Joseph is not, Simeon is not. Now you're taking Benjamin away. But the Apostle Paul said, and we know, and I believe his people will know, that all things spiritual and in the pathway, look, I want to join these. Why? Because your life is redeemed. Your body is redeemed. If you're the Lord's, if you are his, the whole of your life is redeemed. Not just your breath, but your bodies are not your own. They will be raised again in Christ's glory, in his image. And they lay in the dust until that time. And God will have them in the dust, in the grave, until he will raise them up in power. So it's your whole life. You're not your own. See that God's dealings in the journey are bound up with our salvation. And as I was saying about dear Jacob, you know, and Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, love him by grace. You've discovered what he is, his mercy toward you, his word made precious to you, his goodness passing before you. And who are the called according to his purpose? Paul says, his purpose, not ours, his purpose. If you're under God's purpose, you'll have to lose your own purpose. And it's painful, I admit. Well, the psalmist in 42 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted with him? Hope thou in God. And David says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And again, for my, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities, or the margin, not in this Bible, but in the Oxford, is this engulfing ruin be overpassed. Or cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God to perform all things for the church. Well, here I will just come to the circumstances. The scene is ever so solemn, you know. You look at the preceding chapters and see the awfulness of King Saul. Samuel was appointed by God to anoint Saul, and he cared for King Saul and took an interest in him. But he began to discover that things weren't right in his heart, until finally the Lord made it very clear of his anger towards Saul. It's such a solemn case. And all those years he was hunting David, and David anointed. The deep mystery. There's a king reigning, there's another one been anointed. Well, there's trouble for a start. There's trouble, there's a making of trouble from that anointing of tribulation. And when your soul is endued with power from on high and the Lord begins to work and speak, that's the beginning of tribulation. You're going to have trouble in the flesh. Do you think Satan is going to let you get to glory? We can't sit back complacently and say that Satan's a defeated foe. You'll soon find that he's a living one, and he is living still. He is defeated. His head is bruised, his kingdom burnt, but he's fighting
fighting the Son of God, fighting his grace. And he can't get at him, so he goes to his people. The deep mystery. God unfolds. Why, you say, why is this? He unfolds the sufferings of Christ. If you're one with Jesus, you go forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. Well, King Saul, in desperation, has turned to a witch, a woman with a familiar spirit. And she brings forth a spirit that speaks as if Samuel was speaking, but God ordered it. And the devil knew it. Then the next day, he would be where that spirit was. And he fainted. And the witch, she tried to comfort him. But who could be comforted? In soul trouble, if it's real, you'll never comfort yourself. You'll get to a place where you'll never comfort yourself. You'll need another one to comfort you, to visit you. But what an end, a terrible end. He took his own life. At the same time, the anointed one in his place is in trouble, but different trouble. That's a trial of faith, completely different. Saul, through disobedience, had nothing to fall back on. Have you ever been disobedient to the Lord and you've got nothing left? Nothing to fall back on. It's ruined you. Sin ruins us. Disobedience. Jonah had nothing to fall back on in himself. But by grace, he'd had an anointing and a commandment, which it appears Saul did not. Only an outward anointing for the nation. But David had an inward anointing, the word of the Lord, and the purpose of grace toward him over his head, and he knew it. But it was a great trial of faith. He had not been completely straight with Achish concerning where he had been ravaging the enemies of Israel, and he speaks of going to battle in the south end of Judah and so forth, hoping that to give the impression to Achish that his own people abhor him for his own advantage. But God does not let it work. And the people don't want David with them as they go out to battle the Philistines. So David returns to the Philistine city that was given him by Achish, to Ziklag, or it originally was Judah, belonged to Judah, I believe, but had been taken. And there he got there. And the Amalekites had had their vengeance on David for what he had done to them. And they had burned it with fire and taken his wives. And all his followers had lost everything. Everything lost. And his followers spake of stoning him. These are the outward circumstances. Those loyal followers that have been through so much with David were now speaking of stoning him. He had nothing left. But dear friend, child of God, you can't say, if you're the Lord's, you've had help, you've got nothing left. Sin may make you, disobedience may make you feel you haven't. But is your soul turning to the blood of the atonement once more? To Jesus, to his word. Here's David in a trial. His life in danger. There's Saul falling on his sword at the same time. The kingdom is now becoming his. But it doesn't look like it. These are the outward circumstances. But we read this wonderful word, and David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Have you nothing to encourage in meditation and prayer your soul? Have you nothing to plead before the throne? But if you talk to the Lord, you will get back to rock bottom at times, and you will turn, as I've already mentioned, to pleading Jesus' name as a sinner and pleading his precious blood for your life. His dying grace, his word made living. I know we have the words given us from time to time. If you've ever had a word given you, dropped in power from the Bible, do seek that you may see Jesus in the word, in the grace, in the promise, in the comfort to your soul. Do plead it. For if ye ask, it shall be given you. And that asking glorifies him. And David had something to fall back on. Isn't it a mercy? Perhaps there's someone here who says, I've got nothing. You get to that place that top lady spoke of, nothing in my hand I bring. Oh no, not of yourselves. No, no, you won't. And I'm not speaking of you having something of yourself. It's what the Lord's dropped in I'm speaking about. What was made precious to your soul? You're never going to have anything of yourself. There's always going to be nothing in my hand I bring. But if you do feel, I've got nothing, a friend, may grace abound toward you to see that a destitute sinner with nothing has everything to plead in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to it. Open it up. Lay it out before the Lord at the throne of grace. And point to the Bible and plead his dying hour. Ask for your heart to be made soft. Ask for a soft spirit, the heart of stone to be taken away. For Christ, it was testified of him to John the Baptist, the Christ instructed John's disciples to go again to John in his discouragement. What a discouragement. Art thou he that should come? Or will we look for another? Could you ever believe John would get in such a place as that? Well, I wouldn't. But he did, and so do we. But dear John, for his faithfulness, was in prison and was soon to lose his head. But he's in glory, you know. Oh, the wonders. That Redeemer he baptized, he now beholds his Lord and his God. He that baptized Jesus, sending a message, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Go and tell John again. So you blind, I've never seen anything beautiful in the scripture. I'm attracted to the word I wanted. I want the gospel. Ask your eyes to be opened, that we may see no man save Jesus in the pages of the word. And the deaf hear, for my ears to be made open to hear his voice, even in his silence, a speaking voice in my life, what I'm walking through. Earn the lame to walk, to gather up the loins of your mind. The lame to walk. Where? Friend, there's only one walk. There's only one walk for the church. Follow me. Cleave to me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. There's only one walk for a living soul. You're not an independent creature. It's follow me. Take up thy cross, as the first hymn opened up on. And follow me through Jesus' sufferings, through his dying, through the power of his resurrection. As I do want to take up the hymn, I had no thought of it, but you know, baptized into his sufferings, rising in newness of life, rising in newness of life. Because I live, ye shall live also. The lame to walk, and the lepers cleansed. Who is this that forgiveth sins? Friend, God's people have besetments. They got their disposition, they got their nature, they got besetments. Sometimes it's irritableness, sometimes it's pride, sometimes we've all got wandering hearts. We're all made the same way. The lepers are cleansed. The lepers are cleansed. How are they cleansed? How sin put away? Go and tell John again. Go and encourage him. Go and tell him what you hear and see. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. The poor. Well, here you are, friend, you're poor. If you feel you've got so little, it makes you poor, doesn't it? You realise you're poor. They've got the gospel preached. They've got nothing of themselves. All they have is in the Lamb. Well, here we have David encouraging himself in the Lord. Now, my thoughts went to Manoah and his wife, you know. It was a solemn time. The history of Israel in the days of the judges was chaotic. And how they fell into this idolatry so easily, so quickly. And so does your poor heart sometimes. And the Lord brings an enemy, oppression and sorrow. But you see, in the Old Testament, the faithfulness of God, right through to the coming of Messiah, to his people, right through, God is faithful. He will not forsake the work of his hands. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If he knew the Lord, which he did, he'd have learned that the Lord cannot forsake his own work, his own hands. Have you learned that? Would that encourage you? God is not the man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? And as Paul says, the gifts and the calling and gifts of God are without repentance. God will not repent of his blessing. He will not repent of giving you an encouragement of a word in season. He'll never take it away. He'll never take it from you. But because you can't feel it sometimes, you get to questioning, is this real? Can this be so? It's like Rebecca with the two nations in a womb. If it be so, if what thou art saying to me, Lord, if it be so, why am I thus? Why am I thus? But the Lord visited Manoah and his wife and worked wondrously and spoke to them concerning Samson. And after he had ascended up to heaven on the flame from the altar, Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But as the angel did no more appear, Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." The hand of God, that means, that heard the word of God. But you know, that was a type of the dear Redeemer. He cannot visit, God would not visit any soul without the glory of his Son, whom he provided from all eternity. We've seen God. We shall surely die. We shall surely die. But his wife answered, didn't she say? She said, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us." Anyone here feeling all these things are against me? Lord, why are they against me? Do you have to cry out pardon once more? Do you know what it is to have to get on your knees or lean against a wall and say, "Lord, once more, please forgive. Please pardon. Just once more. Forgive my sin once more. When will I learn, Lord? When I'll never learn. Have mercy on me. What a fool I am, Lord. God be merciful to me." Ah, says the good wife of Manoah, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not receive a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands." See the grace in her heart. See the grace in her heart. What she could see in the offering. Acceptance through the life of another. Through a life given. I know it's a creature. I know it's an animal. But the life's taken. She had grace to see what the glory of the offering meant, the burnt offering, the whole dedication of the whole animal to God, the glory of his Son. And then the meat offering, the meal offering of thanksgiving. And it was accepted. The meal offering, was always given with the burnt offering. It was never given alone. There must always be a burnt sacrifice of one form or another with a meal offering. And neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would us at this time have told us such things as these. What has the Lord made known, soul? I want to come to these things in a moment. I want to build up to it if I can. Has Christ been made precious to you as your only hope? Has his love been made sweet to you? Has his word been, have you proved his word to be real? Are you drawn to the dear Redeemer in his life? Do you really want to know more about his dying love? Do you want to feel the rising up in the resurrection power, your soul, rising up to where Jesus is? Do you long for these things? The prophet Habakkuk, he speaks in a rather strange way at the end of his prayer, but he's very blessed. And you know, this is faith. It is living faith. He says, he concludes this, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines." You know, that speaks of penury and poverty, doesn't it? And you look in your own soul. And where's the fruit in your life? And there's no blossoming. Friend, there's one thing if you're taught of the Lord, you won't blossom in religion. Leave it to others to do that. Let them get on with it. You're not going to be blossoming in religion and religious talk. Let them carry on with it. Give me Christ or else I die. Lord Jesus, thy word in my soul. As I go among others, as I go to my house, as I go through my daily pathway, oh, let thy word be precious to my soul. Forget the religious talk. And you feel, I'm not blossoming. You don't know. Friend, you don't see your soul as God sees it sometimes. What you need is to see Jesus. And if you're living for that, and you're seeking him, and you shall find him, because God's word declares you will. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. We think of dear Jesus speaking himself as the living vine. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He speaks of not bearing fruit and the warnings. Oh, you feel the warnings. The labour of the olive shall fail. No, the glory here of the oil, the olive oil. Friend, that points really in a spiritual way to the Holy Spirit's blessing in the soul, the work of the Spirit. And the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off of the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. You see, here the prophet sees the dearth that is to come. Does he leave it there? Does he leave it there? He does not leave it there. And if there's no offspring, there'll be no food, no sustenance, and no supply. He says, yet, despite this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. If you've got nothing to rejoice in, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, will joy in the God of my salvation. Look, let's be very clear. The Lamb once slain, a dying Christ for our sin. Let to the wounds of Jesus. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had been visited by Samuel. Now, I'm speaking here personally of David, of course. He got an anointing for the kingdom. But if he's going to be stoned, he can't think much about the kingdom, can he? He's not thinking about being king in his own sense and glory. His life is in danger. He's looking to the Lord. Friend, he's looking to God, the Son of God, his only begotten Son. His heir was as unfolded to him. I believe David, in his Psalms, we can see, even those early days, was wonderfully taught concerning the coming of the great King to Zion. Now, dear David, he's got nothing left. And he remembers the way the Lord has led him. How he had been constantly in danger, but always from an enemy that was known. Now, from those around him. This was a fresh trial. It was a bitter trial. And dear David could look back and see the preservation and encouragement on the word of the Lord to him, his anointing. Friend, I must emphasize this anointing. The word of the Lord made precious to your soul. Christ made attractive to your soul. You see in Jesus all you need, all your heart's desire. You see mercy with him, forgiveness with him. You've got something to plead. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what's he made now? His word of grace, help given, answers to prayer, providential, spiritual. Your meditation of him in time past has been blessed. The word of God was no longer just ink. It became a living word. It spoke to your soul. It instructed you. It ordered your footsteps. You were poor nobody. But grace came down to David when Samuel went to Jesse and there were the six sons going before him. He said, is this it? Oh, we got another one. You see, the Spirit spoke to Samuel. This is, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is he. And he was anointed. A blessed day for David. What do you read there? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit, friend, he had an outward anointing, literally, of oil upon his head and so forth. But, you see, you say, have I had an anointing? Has the Spirit worked in your soul? The Spirit of the Lord, of grace, of mercy, in encouragement to your soul, to lead you, came upon him. See, it's God's work, God's work. The Spirit came upon him. And then from that time, his trouble started. Yes, it's true, he went to Saul's dwelling, but that brought misery, envy, hatred. Ah, but David could look back and see. He said, one day die by the hand of Saul. Or do you feel you'll one day fall? Will I fall from grace? Will the enemy get me? Have you had an anointing? Have you had an anointing? Will my sins get me? Will unbelief turn me back? Will I get to heaven? Will I sink under trial? Under the load of reproach and sorrow, will I sink? Well, it looks like it, doesn't it, David? I'm with your friends now. The Lord's delivered you from Saul so many times, but now look, your friends are turned against you. All appointed, you know, to humble him. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Friend, his word, his promise, are they light in your eyes? This man receiveth sinners, receiveth them, and eateth with them, communes with them, and sinners go to him. The glory of God, dear friend, is realized by the grace that's imparted. God is impassible. Sin cannot touch him. You say, but my filthy heart, my rags, my vileness, my uselessness, it's a disgrace. It cannot ruin the blessing you've had. It cannot ruin it. Never can and never has in his people yet. Because that comes from heaven, and it is pure, and it will stand. And the rubbish in your heart has got to die with your body and go into the grave. Oh, this man receiveth sinners, you know. And he still does. Now he is exalted in heaven. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That line of the hymn. Oh, once in my big religious way, you know. Oh, dear, I'm so ashamed of myself. It was before I became a minister and that sort of thing, before I was baptised. I used to, get like that, you know, get big ideas in religion. And I used to think, I don't like people quoting hymns. They should quote scripture. That's God's word. Oh, we get these big ideas. One day in trouble, I think I might have told you this. Forgive me if I have. I'm not trying to tell tales, but to encourage, that's all. Of the quarries at Halling, in deep waters, the words, the lines dropped in. I can't think of it. For ye poor, ye thirsty poor and needy souls, for you this wondrous river rolls. Though sin and sorrow make you sad, and they were, yet drink and let your heart be glad. The line of a hymn dropped into my soul. I needed it, you know. Are you brought to the place where to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet? Because you're hungry. You want it from the Lord. Have you no words in prayer? I think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord, the word of grace. Or have you had his word drop in as manna to your soul? There's one thing the Lord will make sure of. You will be going back to the manna. You say, I fear to rest on past experience. Friend, it's a living word given to the soul. It might have been in the past, but it's still a living word. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And may we be led to encourage ourselves, dear friend. This is not of the will of man, but by grace in extremity. It's what the Lord had done for him, he encouraged himself in, by faith. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Willing, Mr. Matthew Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Fred Ince on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746. Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now forever. Amen.